There, how are you guys doing? You guys, thank you, Andy. We need some more extroverts in this group, some people that are loud, obnoxious, right? Steve-o, come on, you need to, raise it up a little bit. Usually you got it, and no, not tonight. All right, now I understand. It's like the first warm day of summer, right? And so it's like, God will give you guys an extra blessing for coming to church today. Just because you skipped the warm summer day. You guys are all looking at me like I'm crazy. Let's go to Lord in prayer and we'll get started. Father God, we come before you. We thank you for all that you do. Lord, you are an awesome, mighty God. And Father, we just ask that we dig into your word, that you would lead us and guide us. Father, you have given us your Holy Spirit. You have truly never left us alone. You have not left us as orphans. You have guided us and kept us. You speak to us, and Father, we just ask as we dig into your word, even now, that you would reveal things to us, that we would hear your voice through the Spirit, that Father, that we would just come to a place of just peace and rest in you and what you have for us, that Lord, that we'd recognize how you have overlooked our sins and have forgiven us of those things, and Lord, that we would not walk in those, but that we'd live a life that would glorify you in that. And so, Lord, we just give it to you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, go ahead and grab your Bibles. We're in Ephesians, and we're going to start right off here in Ephesians chapter 4. And we got these verses to deal with tonight in verse 29 through 32. And it starts off this way. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you have been sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. But keep and be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ God forgave you. So here's these verses that pop up. And as we look at them, there's kind of this list that goes through, and some of it has to deal with our relationships, and some of it has to deal with kind of our responses that often happen in relationships. And we can look through it, to be honest, and it's kind of one of these lists that, I don't know about you guys, but sometimes you kind of read through these lists that pop up in Scripture, and you kind of think about them, but really don't dig into it too much. You just kind of, like, keep going, But if you stop and look at these verses, right in the middle of it, verse 30 pops out of this whole thing, and it seems like it's kind of contrary. It's not even contrary, but it speaks of something totally different than it seems like the rest of this this paragraph does. So look at verse 30 here again. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. So right in the middle of verse 30, there's another screen. We're missing some screens. You got verse 30 up there? Here's the whole thing. Let's pop up verse 30. Should be the next slide. There it is. So there's that one right in the middle of all of it. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. So what's really wild about this to me is as you're reading through this, it's like it's not talking about the Spirit. It's talking about our reactions, and it's talking about our relationships and how we handle things. At the very beginning of this, it talks about how you speak to other people, and it talks about anger, and it talks about, rage and malice, and it talks about forgiveness. But right in the middle of it comes this verse that talks about don't grieve the Holy Spirit. And so to me, when I read through that, like I say, it seems like it's out of place. Until you really begin to think about it and dig into it, because the reality is it's not out of place. I think it's actually almost the main theme of what's going on here, that we just don't recognize how God works in our life sometimes. So I want you to think about this a bit. Here it is. In Ephesians chapter 1, what's really wild about this, so just prior to getting to these verses, what we dealt with this, if you were reading through the book, it wouldn't have been that long ago, but since we've been preaching through the book, it's been quite a while. So Ephesians chapter 1, back in verse 13, actually says this. Let me find it right here. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. Now think about that. You were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. So he's talking about the seal that's on you, and it's been mentioned twice now, the seal that's been put on you, that God has given us this Holy Spirit. It's not the only place that it happens in Ephesians. It also happens if you look over here in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. Now it is God who makes both of us and you stand firm in Christ. He anoints us, sets his seal of ownership on us, and puts his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. What a strong verse. The Holy Spirit is this deposit, this seal, this place where God calls us and says, you are mine. That's kind of a big deal. So the reality is, as believers in Christ, when we receive Jesus, when we say, I recognize that I'm sinful and Christ died for me on the cross to cover my sins, and I repent of those things and I receive the grace that Jesus has given me, when I do that and I understand that in my mind and in my heart, I become a believer in Jesus. I become a Christian. I am born again. But as you look through Scripture, being born again happens because of the Spirit entering me. When I talk about Jesus entering my heart, it is the Holy Spirit that is entering me. It is the Holy Spirit that seals me. And it's quite crazy because sometimes we don't recognize how powerful the Holy Spirit is in our life. Jesus says, I'm not going to leave you as orphans, but that he's going to send the Spirit. Matter of fact, the Scripture is so strong about this. Why don't you look over here at Romans. Romans chapter 8, verse 9 says, you, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. Read that one again. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. See, there's not this place where it's like, oh, I believe in Jesus and I accept him as my Lord and Savior and I don't have the Spirit. The Scripture is really clear that the only thing that we have to do is to surrender our life to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and we are saved. There's no works. There's nothing that we have to do to go outside and earn this thing. It is extremely simple, but yet the Scripture is really clear that when we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, he marks us, he gives us a seal, he deposits his Spirit in us as a guarantee of what is yet to come. Does that mean because we have the Spirit that we live sinless lives? No. The reality is now I am set free from my past. My sin is no longer held against me, but now that I have the Spirit in me, I am now empowered to actually live a different life. This is the being born again. And when you're born again, you think about it, as a baby's kind of helpless, right? They're kind of tender, kind of soft, it's a good thing they're soft in case you drop them. You shouldn't drop them, though. Yeah, that was a joke, it's okay. If you think about it, a child, a baby, needs protection until they begin to grow and understand, until they become mature and they start taking care of themselves in many ways, all these different. As a new believer in Christ, often what you find is somebody accepts the Lord, but not a lot of things have changed in their life right off the bat because, to be honest, they are starting this new life in the Spirit. And the more that we mature, the more that the Spirit begins to mature us, the more we grow up in Christ, the more the Holy Spirit empowers us to begin to recognize the things of God, and we step away from the things that are of our flesh. So there's this growing, maturing process that happens in us. Because the ultimate goal is, and our ultimate destiny, as Romans talks about, is that we will become like Christ. It doesn't mean I will grow a beard and long hair and walk around in sandals. It means that I will become like Christ in my character and the way I think and in the process. And the reality is I will worship God and I will be one with God in my mind and my spirit in a whole new way that we've never experienced before. And we will become like Christ. That is our destiny. The Holy Spirit is that deposit inside of us that brings us to that place. So how important is the Holy Spirit? Huge. Huge. Christ is huge because Christ is the one who came and gave us the Word, gave us understanding about who God is and how to live. And then on top of all of that, the Word of became flesh. On top of all of that, He becomes the sacrifice for us. He rescues us. Christ is huge, obviously. God is huge because God, ultimately that's what it's about, is the glory of God. But the Holy Spirit is often one of these ones that's like, we don't know what to do with, and we kind of put it over to the side. Yet the reality is the Holy Spirit is huge in the believer's life. So when the Scripture talks about, do not grieve the Holy Spirit, we need to pay attention. We need to stop and go, what's he saying? Because this is this thing that God has placed in me. This is what I have because Christ has died for me, that I have this Spirit of God in me to change me to a new person, and has given me the power to understand him in a different way. And so here it is, it talks about, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Now, if you think about this, I want you to look over here at Galatians chapter 5. We're going to read through some verses because it talks about this battle inside of us between the sin nature and the Holy Spirit. Verse 13, chapter 5. You, brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in the keeping this one commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfishness, ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the likes. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience or forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Now we know that section in there about the Spirit and the Holy and the fruit that comes out of it, the reality that how He changes our character. But there's a part of this, I don't know if you caught this, at the very beginning, where He talks about being humble and not fighting against each other and not allowing yourselves to devour one another and living in peace and harmony with each other. And immediately He talks about living in the Spirit, which to me is really interesting because it's really close to what happens in Ephesians when he talks about how we handle one another and how we respond to one another and whether we forgive one another and not to grieve the Holy Spirit. See, I think sometimes we can grasp the Holy Spirit's in us and I have this new life, but we don't know how it plays out. It's kind of this wondering, you know, is it the supernatural thing? Is it, you know, and it is supernatural. But at the same time, there's this element to it that is closely related to our relationships. That is super important. Which kind of puts it all back in context. Because often this is what we try to do in our spiritual maturity. This is, we go, okay, Christ has saved me, and I don't want to live in my flesh, so therefore I'm going to lay down these rules and regulations so that I don't ever do anything wrong, because I don't want to ever do anything wrong again. I don't want to live there. So we come up with a lot of rules and regulations. Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle. You know, you can't do that. If you're a real believer, you know, you don't play poker. That's wrong. That's evil. If you're a real believer, you don't touch that or drink that. Or if you're a real believer, you know what I mean? And we put down these regulations in order to try to protect ourselves. Because somewhere in our past, when we did those kind of things before in our flesh, it gave way to bad actions and bad behavior, and we recognize that, and so therefore we put up these barriers. But this is what it is. It's us being able to put up barriers without the power of the Holy Spirit, because we're trying to manage our own flesh instead of the Holy Spirit actually stepping in and changing our desires, which is very different. A couple weeks back, we had the Hunts out for dinner. And we had some golf balls out there and some golf clubs, and we were hitting golf balls and all that stuff. And Nolan and Andy were out there, and Andy was like, man, Andy's nailing those balls. And phew! And Nolan's out there, you know, he's a little kid. He's got this thing, and he's like trying to hit it like with a baseball bat, you know what I mean? And he's just all over the place. Andy comes over and goes, let me help you with that. And Nolan looks at him and goes, Dad, leave me alone. I'm trying to do it right. And it was hilarious to a point. The reality is here is Nolan, and he's like, I'm going to figure this thing out, and I'm going to do it. And yet he wouldn't help. He wouldn't take the help of his dad to actually show him how to do it right. That's often how we treat the Holy Spirit. We look at things and we put these rules and regulations on it because we're trying to do it right. But all we do is we actually put the standard that we can't meet. We run in our own strength, which sometimes we're going to fall, which either, if we succeed, leads to pride, and if we fall, leads to this place of failure where, why am I even trying anymore? We just quit. See, the Holy Spirit is full of grace. Because what happens in the Holy Spirit comes in and he begins to change the way we think. And we've talked about this before. The way we think is huge. Because how we process and how we look at things, that's what goes to our heart. That's what that molds our actions and our behavior and our character. And what the Holy Spirit does is it begins to change the way that we think, so that we allow the Holy Spirit to speak into our lives, and we look at something and go, you know what? I don't want to indulge in that anymore. Because I know where it goes and I don't like it. And yet at the same time, there's times that we give into our flesh. And the Holy Spirit will speak into our hearts and bring conviction where we'll step back out of it. But what's wild about it is the Holy Spirit brings in conviction that leads us to repentance, leads us to a place where we want to be right with God, not to a place where we just pull away from folks. And so the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us in it, and we need that in our life. And the Holy Spirit is huge in order for us to grow spiritually and for us to be able to really find what it is that God has done for us and to be able to have that victory in our life. But as we put this together, like I say, it's hard because often we kind of misunderstand what God is doing. I want you to go back to Ephesians chapter 4. And this time, let's look at this again in the context of what it's talking about as far as grieving the Holy Spirit. It says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building up others according to their needs. So think about that a little bit. What I say, what I indulge in, can have an impact on me spiritually because it can grieve the Holy Spirit. So if I'm to really look at that and say, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of my mouth. All right, that means if I'm in the habit of telling bad jokes, it's probably not a good thing. Because, yeah, you know, I say something and it might be funny, I might get a reaction out of it. But at the same time, that means my mind goes to a bad place. And we're supposed to take captive every thought. And so if I allow my mind to go to bad places and then dwell on those things, and the thing about humor is humor has a way of actually cementing something into your mind, that's probably not a good thing. But it's not just humor. It's not just telling bad jokes, because it says, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building up others according to their needs. That puts a different standard on it, doesn't it? Only what is helpful for building up others. Guys, I think sometimes it's our favorite pastime to figure out what's wrong with the world and then talk about it. I think it's one of our favorite pastimes to look at our government, look at our economy, to look at our society and go, oh my gosh, you see what they're doing now? This world's going to hell in a handbasket. Can I say that from up here? I think I can. I think I'm okay. But we do that, you know what I mean? Because we talk about these things and we bring them up. And to be honest, what does it do? It just makes us frustrated. And the reality is we get frustrated about these things and we want to spew them out. And the person that's hearing it, what are they going to respond to it? Oh, that's the best thing I've ever heard. No, it's not. It's just going to bring them to a place of frustration. It doesn't build them up. Now, granted, there's things in this world that we need to stand up for, that there are things that are wrong, that we need to go, this isn't right. But when we let our minds dwell on stuff, when we constantly go listen to stuff, when we turn on the radio or we turn on the TV, when we listen to other stuff that is going on that is just negative, that is just pointing out, here's all the wrongs of everybody else, it's not a good thing. And according to Scripture, that's one of the things that grieves the Holy Spirit. And why would it grieve the Holy Spirit? Because this is what it does. It puts us in a place of judgment. It puts us in a place where we know right and they're in the wrong. And I'm frustrated because they have the power and I don't. Which says, God's not in control, they're in control. It says, God hasn't blessed me because of where I'm at compared to where they're at. It says, this world is all messed up, even though God's created every man and woman in his image. I'm not saying everybody's saved. That's not what I'm saying at all. But there is value in every man and every woman and every child. There is value. And we need to see that value in people. What's it say about our government? Pray for them. That's what it says about it. It doesn't say grumble about them. Matter of fact, if you go back to the Old Testament and look at what happens when a group of people start grumbling about their leadership, it's never good. It's never good. So here's the reality. We need to watch what we listen to, what we think about, because of how we talk about things. The things that come out of our mouth should be to build other people up, to encourage them, to point them to the fact that God is in control, that we do have a hope in a future, that we do live differently, and that we are blessed. Because when we begin to focus in on those things, we begin to realize what the Holy Spirit has done in us already. And that is super, super powerful. Our attitude totally changes our destiny. And I believe that. The way we think and the way that we feel about things totally changes how we approach life and what we get into. We have to be able to come back to a place and go, you know what, if I have this issue, if I'm there, it's like, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me of the things that I've said negative about other people. Forgive me, even if I don't know them, but they're in some kind of part of our society, forgive me for those things, because those are people that have been created in your image. You are in control. You have blessed me. to help me to be able to see other people with love and grace and to be able to recognize how God is working in their life in incredible ways. It goes on, though. So we got this verse 30 that pops up here in the middle. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. And then it gets right into this, verse 31. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander, and every form of malice. Which is interesting. Bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, and malice. This all has to deal with this frustration of how I've been treated. I've been wronged. I hate the way they do this. The fact that this happened to me. This rage, this anger, this bitterness, this malice. This is our response to how the world treats us. It says, get rid of it all. It is an addictive behavior to let yourself get into this kind of stuff. Bitterness feeds on bitterness. It grows in your heart once you get frustrated about something, because once you're frustrated about it, you can't let it go. I mean, how many of us have had something terrible happen or something that has gone on, and the reality is it keeps us up all night long? You're thinking about it, and you're waking up in the middle of the night, and you got this anxiety that's happening in your heart, and it's like, oh, I can't believe this is happening. You guys like that feeling? I hate it when I wake up in the middle of the night. That's like the worst curse ever, to wake up in the middle of the night. It's like there's nothing better than waking up in the morning when you're like rested, and it's like, man, I slept all the way through the night. That was awesome, right? I mean, it feels good. But when our heart is so full of anger and frustration, it tears us apart. Here's the crazy thing about it. It's our response. We can either approach life of being a victim, or we can approach life of realizing I'm responsible for my reactions. See, a victim says, this is everybody else's fault, and this is why I'm so angry. A victim looks at it and says, well, this is, you know, that wasn't right, and so this is the way I'm going to respond to that and the way I'm going to act in those things. The problem is when you respond in malice, and when you respond in anger, when you frustration, when you respond in these things, you have consequences that are tied to them. It's going to come back and get you. Somebody's going to hear what you said and went, I can't believe you said that. Or it's going to come back in the fact that it's even going to get harder for you. Whenever you respond to something, there is a consequence related to it. And whether you respond in anger or malice or rage, you're not going to reap something on the other side that's very good. And it's not like you can go, oh, this is the way I'm going to respond, and what I want over here is to be resolved, and I want it to be peace, and I want joy in my life. That does not come with any of those attributes that we just talked about. If you want joy and peace, if you want to be able to have something resolved, then the reality is I have to take control of my own response and say, no, I'm going to respond differently. I'm going to try to see the good in it. And try to listen to the Holy Spirit and be able to realize that, you know what, something may have been on their side. I need to give them grace because I know I need grace. I'm going to listen to the Holy Spirit and try to respond in a way that's positive, to be able to bless those that would curse me, to turn the other cheek. That almost sounds like Jesus, doesn't it? To be able to look at society and go, you know what? They may ask me to go so far, but I'm going to go twice that. They may put me down, but I need to rejoice that I was put down for Christ's sake. You can't do that if you respond in anger and malice and rage. The reality is when somebody responds in anger, malice, and rage, you might get your way as far as customer service goes, but nobody likes you. And in all honesty, that's not what it's about, getting your own way. Because that's kind of the act of the sinful nature. That's why we respond in these things. Isn't it better to be wronged? isn't it better to be able to keep your mind and joy and peace and be wronged and see God work in a different way? I've had some circumstances in my life that are quite outrageous. We built a youth center. And this youth center was huge. It was right in the middle of Republic. And it's on Main Street. And we were putting an awning out on the Main Street to cover the sidewalk. And so we had to meet building codes, all that stuff, which was good. And as we were putting up this awning, the forms for the post on the awning didn't turn out very good. And I literally had the mayor of the town come up, pulling me out of the office with the building inspector, who the building inspector was a friend and was embarrassed as all get out, as she sat there on Main Street cussing me out at the top of her lungs about how ridiculous this awning was. It was unbelievably humiliating. And you just sit there and listen to it. And everybody that was around her was humiliated that she would act this way. She finally got done with this ranting and raving, which lasted almost an hour on Main Street, with a huge crowd gathering, watching about what's going on, and you just let it go. I could have responded so many times in the middle of all the cuss words and everything else to put her in her place. But that wouldn't have been right. Wouldn't have been right at all. And what's wild is it's like, man, you go through that and it's like, poof. But you know what happened? Everybody that witnessed that afterwards all stepped up and went, you know what? We want to see this youth center happen. And they all got involved and they all helped it finish it. And things totally turned with the community in that way because of her actions. It's not what she intended. She wanted to destroy us because she didn't like us. But it totally went against her. Now, I wish I could say that I had the power of the Spirit in me to always respond that way, because there's been some times I have not responded that way. And what's amazing about it, whenever I've lost my cool, whenever I've gone, ooh, it's never gone the way I've wanted it to. See, there's something about it when we let God take control and go, this is not about me. Let somebody else lose it and keep your cool and show grace and love, that God steps in incredible ways and heals hearts, makes his glory known. He protects his children. And being able to step back and go, you know what? I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit, because as soon as I respond this way, what happens is it enters into me and then I can't get it out of my mind, and I chew on it and I chew on it like a dog with a bone and I can't let it go, and it just begins to eat at my heart and my soul, and it becomes miserable and I become miserable and everybody around me knows that I'm miserable, and it's all because of one little stupid thing that I chose to respond in that behavior. Instead of being able to allow the Holy Spirit to lead in me. So we look at this and begin to realize I can't play the victim. I'm responsible for my own choices, how I decide to respond, whether this or that. He goes on to a big one here. Verse 32. Be kind and compassionate to one another. Forgive each other, just as Christ God forgave you. See, it would have been great if he would have just left it with, forgive one another, wouldn't it? But then he has to throw in that little bit, just like Christ forgave you. Ouch. Forgiveness is huge. As believers in Jesus Christ, if we don't learn how to forgive, we will never reach spiritual maturity. Because forgiveness is the root of the gospel. Forgiveness is what Christ came about. Forgiveness is one of those things where if we hold on to it and we won't forgive somebody else, we have grieved the Spirit in incredible ways. You will not grow. There will be fruit that is hampered in your life if you can't forgive and let somebody go. A lot of times when we think about forgiveness, we go, well, you got to forgive and forget. I don't believe that's true. Because if I forget, to be honest, there's not much forgiveness in that. If somebody did something to me and I forgot about it, what am I forgiving? I don't even remember. What are you talking about? But there's a difference between forgiving and knowing what was done to you and continuing to choose to forgive. Continuing to say, no, I'm not going to let this affect the way that I respond to them. To be able to forgive something and say, there it is. I know the wrong that was done, but it's okay. I'm not going to hold it against that person. I'm not going to speak bad about that person. I'm not going to judge them according to those things. Doesn't mean that we need to be foolish. Somebody that has abused you and you go, oh, well, I need to forgive them, and you step back into that relationship. No, that's not what we're talking about. That's not forgiveness. That's stupidity. There's a place of being able to forgive somebody and say, no, I'm not going to hold against you. I want to do my best to love you. I want to treat you like Christ has treated me, to give you grace in those things. But I also realize that there's some places and you got some issues and you got some character things that is probably not going to happen very well between us. And so in my forgiveness of you, I want to love you. And in that love, I need to separate from you. And so sometimes there's a place of being able to realize that there's wisdom and being able to forgive. And I truly believe that, to forgive and not hold it against somebody and how I would treat somebody. But yet be able to walk in wisdom and say, I don't need to step into that because it's just going to be a bad situation again. In your life, you're going to have a lot of opportunities to forgive. God seems to always put it in front of us. As soon as you get one down, you're going to have another relationship you're going to have to forgive. The reality is of the best friendships, the deepest friendships, are the friendships that have been able to walk through tough times and still come out of the other side and say, you know what, I still care about you and I still love you and it's okay. Because see, we're kind of selfish. So sometimes we get into relationships, and as soon as somebody does something or says something or we misunderstand something that they did and we don't forgive them and we don't let it go, all of a sudden we separate ourselves from that relationship. And we don't give grace into it. And forgiveness is something that tears us apart. It doesn't do any damage to the other person. The reality is when we harbor unforgiveness or we keep it inside of us, it just eats at us. It brings stress into our life. It destroys us. This is what's crazy about this, is God's commandment is for our benefit. To be able to live a life and to overlook an offense, to be able to live a life and forgive somebody knowing what they've done and go, it's okay. Holding to Christ as our example, the author and finisher of the race, being able to look at him and say, you know what? All the way through my life, my behavior has offended God, but yet he's forgiven me all of it. And he loves me anyways. And what's wild about it is he loved me and he forgave me even while I was a sinner, even while I was in the midst of it. I just needed to learn how to receive it. When you can forgive somebody, there's something that happens in your heart. And I believe it's the power of the Spirit in us that heals us in incredible ways. It helps us take an offense. It helps us take a tragedy. It helps us take those things and puts it into the past as something that happened, but not something that defines me. When we don't forgive something, what happens is it becomes part of us, becomes part of my story, becomes part of my identity. It becomes part of what everybody knows about me because I'm still dwelling on it. Instead of being able to set it aside and say, no, that's something that happened. not a big deal. It does not define me. It's not part of my story. We move on. To forgive as God forgave us. The power of that is beginning to realize how much God has forgiven us. To be able to have grace for others. I guess this is the punch of the whole thing. In the middle of those verses dealing with how we treat other people is this verse about do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Guys, our relationships with one another and how we respond to them has everything to do with our relationship with God, our Creator. Don't kid yourself. Father God, we just come before you. Lord, I ask for your forgiveness in places where I've been angry. Lord, I ask for your forgiveness in places where it's taken me far too long to overcome an offense. Lord, help me to be able to truly speak things that encourage other people, to build them up for their good. Lord, don't let me dwell on the negative. There's plenty of people in this world that will do that. I don't need to give it time. Father God, help us to be a people that speak your truth and your love. That, Father, that joy would be evident in our lives. That, Father, that you would work in incredible ways. Lord, we thank you so much for all that you do in us. We thank you that you've given us your Spirit, that we are not left as orphans, that you have empowered us with your own mind to be able to determine what is right and wrong, and not only to determine it, but Father, to live out something totally different than what we've ever experienced before. So Lord, we surrender to you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.